26. "Been a long time since I saw the mountain like this," my father says, motioning to the thinning forest surrounding the peak. Like him, his father was a miner who worked at several other sites near Black Creek. My father hiked these woods before Adele's summit was cleared, strip-mined, and had holes dug in her sides. He points uphill to where a line of clear blue sky can be seen beyond the trees. "Top is just ahead. Think you might have this confused with another mountain," I say, doing my best to hide all traces of fear. The buzzing drone is just 10 feet ahead, and I have no doubt that the people on the other end can hear our every word. What they can't seem to hear is the occasional shift of leaves behind us, revealing Enola's mostly silent pursuit. "This is Grayson, right?" my father asks. "Adele," I say. "Ah." It's a tenuous ruse. While Grayson is a nearby mountain, it has never been home to a mine, and Adele's stripped and striated peak is hard to confuse for another mountain. While her base is intact and pristine, the upper quarter in my time is home to layers of barren stone. Now that I see the mountain's true, untouched beauty, I regret ever having felt fondly for the mines. Money and the promise of creature comforts is enough for people to turn on nature, no matter how impressive it might be. When the drone reaches the clearing ahead of us, it turns around and hovers in place. "I'm afraid this is where I must ask you to leave any weapons you might have," Langdon says. "Synergy requires me to carry a firearm," I point out. "Not any longer. Our new security measures are more than adequate." "New since when?" I ask. "Well, today." While it's odd that they wouldn't have filled me in on such drastic security changes, if they had any idea that their experiments might lead to this, why wasn't I informed about the changes? "Corporate security, I'm afraid," Langdon says. "You never know who you can trust." "You once called me the most trusted man on Synergy's payroll." It was during our second meeting, after I had created a series of new security protocols designed to keep everyone safe. His approval led to the hiring of extra security staff, including Cassie. "I did?" The drone is motionless, but I get the sense that Langdon is searching his memory. "Oh, yes, in regard to your security refinement. I'm afraid much has changed since then." "I've noticed." I think back to the bodies. While lethal force is authorized inside the facility, people who have breached the perimeter fence are supposed to be met with non-lethal force. Had Minuteman's people engaged first, that would be different. But the only bullet casings littering the ground around those bodies were 7.62 rounds, the bullet of choice for miniguns, not the kinds of weapons a serious operator like Minuteman or research facilities would use. I've got serious apprehensions about following this drone, but I suspect retreat might put us at odds with Synergy's new security, and I can't take that risk with Owen and my father. The devil I know and all that. A distant roar sifts through the trees. Speaking of the devil I don't know. The drone tilts at an angle, then zips closer to us, the camera pointed downhill. For a moment I'm worried it will spot Enola, but she's nowhere in sight. When the sound doesn't repeat, the drone makes a slow spin toward me. "Forgive my ignorance, but do you know what made that sound?" "Best guess," I say. "Some kind of large predator." "Can you be more specific?" "Something from the Ice Age?" "Unlikely," Langdon says. "While it is impossible to determine the precise year without seeing the stars, based on the size of the gravitational wave and previous observations, we believe the current year is 800 BC, give or take a handful of decades." When the roar repeats a little louder and closer, I say, "Whatever it is, I'd rather figure it out from behind Synergy's walls than standing out here exposed." "Right," Langdon says. "Of course." I lean the Winchester against a nearby tree. The weapon will be easy for Enola to find, which is good, because whatever is stalking the woods sounds big and unfriendly. She already has the shotgun, but it holds only 4 rounds, and there's still a good number of unsavory people about, and the mountain lion, and who knows what else we've picked up along the way. "Lead the way," I say. We resume our upward hike, the trees thin and then sunshine. For a moment, bathed in yellow, surrounded by damp air and smell of fresh growth, I feel a sense of peace. We're above the fog here, and when I look into the distance, I can see the familiar Appalachian range, mostly swallowed by a soupy layer of gray mist. It's when I focus on what's in front of me that things become unfamiliar. There are some things I recognize. The main science building and its futuristic shape, like Disney's Omni Center, squished into the shape of a peanut. But there are several other buildings rising up behind the wall. Buildings that weren't here 2 days ago, along with the wall itself. Synergy's first line of defense is the outer perimeter barrier. The chain-link fence combined with the signs threatening legal action, not to mention the razor wire, are enough to deter even the most foolish vandal. The second line of defense was, a taller fence, also topped with razor wire, and patrolled by three armed guards, Kuzneski, Brown, and Harper. This is different, and impressive. Instead of chain link, there's a line of 5-inch-wide metal posts separated by 2-inch slits. Not only does the top come to a razor-sharp point, but the sides look like serrated knife blades. Climbing the 10-foot-tall fence would be all but impossible. The simple act of grasping it might result in the loss of several fingers. Instead of one guard shack by a chain-link rolling gate, there are now two metal towers. Long windowless slits on the tower walls would allow those inside an easy-to-fire-from, hard-to-hit position from which to fend off intruders. I can't see what's hidden within, but I have no doubt that there are hidden weapons pointing outward, maybe even tracking us right now. No comment? Langdon asks as we approach. This is all new to you, yes? Most of it. And? I'm impressed. You could fend off an army. And we have, he says, as you've already seen. I'm not sure I'd call 4 people an army, but I see your point. Keeping my tone more interested than threatening is tough. I want some answers, and right fucking now, but that's not going to happen if I'm combative, or if he senses any judgment on my part. I remember Minuteman's impression of me based on his research and decide to stick to the script. Far as I'm concerned, if you keep cutting my checks, I'll keep doing my job, though I would appreciate knowing exactly what I'm up against. Also a fair point, Langdon says, but explanations will have to wait. As for your job, I'm afraid your services are no longer required. 3 more drones rise up over the wall and take up positions around us. None of them are armed, but they're still intimidating. Owen clings to my father's leg. You have nothing to fear as long as you cooperate, Langdon says. And I do apologize for the circumstances and sudden termination, but our situation is extremely fluid, and I'm afraid we must take precautions. I can help, I tell him, trying to sound confident and loyal. Perhaps, Langdon says. But for now, the best place for all of you is to be out of the way. And with that, the massive spiked-topped gates open inward, revealing what once was a parking lot and is now closer to a military forward operating base. But instead of soldiers, there are drones. Dozens of the flying machines are lined up under 3 large open structures, allowing them to come and go. I watch one buzz down from the sky, slip into one of the buildings, and dock with a charging bay. It was all done so fluidly that I suspect it was on autopilot, controlled by AI rather than by a human operator. Several warehouses that weren't here before contain who knows what, but they're being patrolled by what looks like an armored dune buggy with tank treads. I remember the sound of grinding treads in the woods. The vehicle doesn't appear to be armed, but it's large enough to sport a concealed minigun. I confirm my suspicions by looking down at the dirt beneath my feet, where a collection of human footprints has been run over by several pairs of treads. This is the path taken by Cassie's killers. I pause at the threshold, taking everything in. My father stands next to me, holding Owen in his arms now. This is where you work? He whispers. Like me, he's equal parts impressed and terrified. Rightfully so. People don't prepare for war unless they're expecting one. No, I say. This is different. This is new. And then it all makes sense. From the very beginning, I have assumed that it was my synergy that caused the flux, that they had accidentally triggered our jaunt through time. But this isn't where I worked, and while Dr. Langdon might still be running the show, he's not the man I've met. He's the man he will eventually become. This isn't from my present, I tell my father. It's from the future.